Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and two guests again today, Jack Manuel and Dylan Jackson. What's up, guys?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about free agency, kind of mad at DeMarcus Cousins, excited about Michael Carter-Williams, and ready to discuss it.
Shout out to all my fellow English football fans back in London. A little bit of a tidbit for them. Good to see them going through. Let's talk some hoops.
We are 66 hours into free agency. And it is everything we all expected.
I don't know if it's everything we expected. I don't know if I expected.
It's probably more, actually. Yeah, yeah. It's probably more than we expected.
It's crazier, and it's definitely still plenty to happen. We saw a couple things happen today. Before we get started, though, just a quick reminder, you can check out the outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play. But, guys, we're just going to run through some of the free agent signings. Just give me your take on them, and we'll talk a little bit of trades and rumors at the end. First off, we'll start off with the Jazz. Dante Exum re-signed 3 years, $33 million. Also re-signed Raul Neto, 2 years, $4.4 million. Thoughts on this one?
I think Dante Exum is it's kind of a risk. 3 years, $33 million. It's a lot for a guy who hasn't played much for the Jazz, but he's still 22. He's got a lot of potential, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I think if you're going to try to pair somebody with Donovan Mitchell, I think it could be very, very well for the Jazz. But at the same time, you just drafted Grayson Allen. So I'm not sure how you plan to use all these guards that you have. I think it's an interesting move.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting move as well. I can't speak too badly about my fellow Aussie brethren. I would get in some serious trouble as I have in the past. But yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I'm really happy for Dante for all the hardships that he's been through with the injuries to get rewarded. I think that this was almost a pay good deal from Dennis Lindsay. And also, you know, a nice sort of like little tidbit is the fact that, you know, another point guard off the market for teams like Phoenix and Orlando. So I'm happy to see this get rewarded for Dante Exum. But again, at the same time, it'll be interesting to see if there are any like player or team options along the way, how much money of that is guaranteed, which I'm sure will trickle out in the coming days and hours.
Yeah, over on Full Access Hoops, I actually did the Utah Jazz. He's a recap before free agency, and I had on Taylor Griff from the Talk Jazz, and he was saying how despite the injury to Dante Exum, you know, Jazz fans and the organization is just really high on him still. They see explosiveness. Against Houston, he showed glimpses of still having, you know, the potential of being something really special. So I wasn't surprised that they brought him back. You know, $33 million over 3 years, to me, it is a little bit odd for a guy who hasn't really shown much. But, you know, he has shown a lot of raw potential. If he can just stay healthy, he could be the point guard going forward, you know, because he has more offensive versatility, I think, than Ricky Rubio, even though Ricky Rubio was tremendous last season.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a risk, but it feels like Utah's just betting on him and his potential. Any thoughts on Raul Neto signing?
Oh, I think it's a nice little move. You know, the fact that, you know, the Utah was sort of known for having these sort of low-key moves last year, you know, having guys like Royce O'Neal, Jay Crowder on these really sort of team-friendly deals. And the way you can sort of building a roster, Dennis Lindsay's underrated in the way that he's doing that. And, you know, adding that depth to your list, to your roster, is going to bode well for them, who I'm guessing they're going to be aiming for a top three, top four seed next year. And all these moves are sort of, you know, hopefully paving the way to do so.
Anything else from you guys?
I think that Jack covered it pretty well. Raul Neto, he's going to be that standard backup center. You know, they re-signed Derek Favors a day ago, so I don't think there's too much to think behind that. I mean, it's 2 years, I believe, like $4.5 million. So he's that quality backup center. Good deal for them.
Yeah, just a guy to have around, not bad, a nice backup in case somebody has an injury like an Exum or Ricky Rubio. Moving on to Avery Bradley, he re-signed with the Clippers, 2 years, $25 million. What are your thoughts on this one?
This is a very, very interesting signing. I didn't expect him to go back to the Clippers, but he inevitably did. 2 years, $25 million. I believe that second year is a team option, or at least it's partially guaranteed. He's that defensive 3-and-D type of guy for the Clippers. They have a lot of guards now with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jerome Robinson, Patrick Beverley, all these different types of guys. But I really do like this fit here in Los Angeles. I think it's interesting because I thought he would go somewhere else and get maybe a little bit of a smaller 1 year type prove it deal. But I think this is a great deal for the Clippers if it's only going to be for 1 year anyway. So I like it for both sides.
Yeah, the fact that I think it's only like Zach Lowe reported, I think it's only like $1 million guaranteed after the first year. So it's like $14 million in guaranteed money. via the Clippers. So, yeah, good move, I think, in terms of that sort of one-year deal. When you compare it to, say, a guy like a KCP who's on a one-year sort of $12 million deal with the Lakers, I think Avery Bradley, you know, we've mentioned, I know Nick has plenty of times about his off-court troubles, but, you know, when at his best, we've seen him, you know, defend guys like Kyrie Irving and be one of the best sort of guard defenders in the league. If he can get anywhere closer back to that form, then, you know, this will be a worthwhile move for the Los Angeles Clippers. And, you know, in a tightened market, to get anywhere above sort of $10 million is a win for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have paid Avery Bradley this much, only because of how bad he was. He just wasn't good last year. You know, his shooting numbers were down. He was banged up, like you just said, the off-the-court issues. I mean, there was just a lot of bad around Avery Bradley his first year out of Boston. But of course, you know, the Clippers who are rebuilding, you can take a chance on a guy like him. You know, who knows? Maybe he starts off this year really hot. He stays healthy. And maybe, you know, a team, someone contending, you know, they come knocking at the deadline for a guy who's making $12.5 million and they try and scoop him up. But I like it for the Clippers. It makes sense.
Yeah, and the fact that the second year is not fully guaranteed makes him a nice trade asset because you can trade him and then you can get his cap off the books for the following season. And they're just going to have a really annoying defensive backcourt in terms of Patrick Beverley and Avery Bradley. That's not going to be fun to go against. But like Dylan mentioned, Corey mentioned, I was a little bit surprised to see him get a two-year deal. I thought he would get the one-year deal, kind of prove it, and then look to get more money next year. Going on to Seth Curry, though, he signed with the Portland Trail Blazers, 2 years, $5.6 million.
I was hoping that he would go to an Eastern Conference team, maybe like the Celtics, give him another scoring punch, just so he could face the Warriors in the finals. That's all I wanted, this free agency. I didn't care about anything else. I just wanted Seth Curry on the Celtics. But I do like this signing. He's that 1-2 kind of combo guard, that scoring punch, like I mentioned earlier. But I like this deal for the Trailblazers. I think it's 2 years, I believe. So I like this, gives them another guard instead of Shabazz Napier, who I assume is out the door. So I like this deal a lot.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's a nice value deal for the Trailblazers. You know, they've been making some questionable moves in the offseason in terms of renouncing the rights to Shabazz Napier, letting Ed Davis sort of walk out the door for bugger all money to be fair. So yeah, to make a decent move, you know, this eases the pressure on Neil O'Shea somewhat. The lineups last year with Shabazz Napier along with their two star guards worked really well. So I'd expect to see a little bit of that with Seth Curry. And, you know, he can ease a lot of Damian Lillard a little bit. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this works out. But, you know, Seth Curry has a lot to prove this year. So hopefully he does well. And, you know, we know all his talent and hopefully he can prove it.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years with a player option for the second year, which I'm sure he likes because, you know, coming off a season where he didn't play because of the stress fracture in his leg. Now, if he has a really good year, he can opt out and get more money possibly. I think he's an upgrade from Shabazz Napier if he's healthy. I like him as the sixth man off that bench. You know, he can do a little bit of playmaking. As we know, he can shoot. Not as good as his brother, but he can still shoot. You know, it's a low risk, high reward, I think, in this situation.
Were you guys surprised Seth Curry didn't get a little bit more attention in free agency?
I'm not too surprised. I mean, if you miss a full year of basketball, it's just bound to happen that way.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the same sort of thing with reportedly from DeMarcus Cousins barely getting any offers, if not none, basically, apart from like Boston and Portland in a trade. So for a guy like Seth Curry who missed all of the season, and on stress fractures as well, which is a lingering type of injury, you know, not necessarily 100% surprised. You know, there's elements I'm like, well, why didn't this team go for him? Why didn't the Lakers go for him? You know, we've talked to ad nauseum about the fact that they need shooting like more than anything. So yeah, it's surprising that some teams haven't valued him in terms of their needs, but it feels like, you know, a lot of the time that we're better GMs than some of these teams going around.
Moving on to Dwight Howard, he finalized his buyout with the Nets. We don't know the exact number yet, and now he's signing with the Washington Wizards. 1 year, $5 million and change. What are your thoughts on this one?
Their locker room is going to be an absolute mess. John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, and now Dwight Howard. My God, it's going to be so fun to watch them, but I mean, at the same time, you can't help but cringe. Basketball-wise, Dwight Howard, he's a double-double machine, defensive rebounder. He's an upgrade from Martian Gortat, so that's all I can say about him.
Yeah, funnily enough, I mentioned this on JBT a couple of days ago in saying that, you know, Dwight Howard is a better fit in terms of over to Marcus Cousins due to the fact that they would be able to get him cheaper and not in a sign and trade. But the fact that DeMarcus Cousins was signed for the mid-level exception, which is essentially the exact same deal for what Dwight Howard will reportedly be going for, doesn't make a lot of sense to me, especially with the connection that DeMarcus and John Wall have back in their college days. So obviously, the front office of the Wizards is one that we pan and consistently, and with good reason. But Dwight Howard fills the need, I guess. You don't want Jan Mahimi playing starters minutes, and Dwight Howard can do that. And you know, Dylan saw that for his team in Charlotte, despite the fact that he's a locker room cancer. He can still put up numbers, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be there'll be plenty of memes and plenty of fun and plenty of content for Wizards fans.
I love the point of the fact that, you know, Dwight Howard and, you know, Cousins are both making the same money. Maybe the Wizards didn't call because they thought they didn't have a chance. And this would then make, you know, the point proven that you always shoot your shot. You always make the call and you just, you know, see, you know, just, hey, you know, what are you thinking, Cousins? Because, you know, if they're both making the same money, and like you mentioned, John Wall and him have talked about wanting to play together. That could have been something. But, you know, and as Dylan, you both mentioned, Dwight Howard in that locker room with the already somewhat turbulent relationship between Wall and Bradley Beal, it could be really bad. but on the floor, you know, I think this could be really good. I mean, if these guys play up to their potential, John Wall stays healthy, even though Dwight Howard, you know, doesn't really get utilized in the pick and roll all that time, like all that great. Like he doesn't actually like the pick and roll or whatever, if I remember correctly, from his Houston days. But you know, this team could be really good in the East, especially with all the moves happening. You know, this could be a top four, top three seed possibly in the East if everything gels. So I don't hate the move from a basketball standpoint. But after the team issues they had last year, this could be, you know, a bad move. But, you know, Dwight Howard, like Dylan mentioned, double-double machine. He can still rim protect. So from that aspect, I do like it, especially for $5.4 million.
Yeah, given their cap situation, adding this talent is definitely great. But like you guys mentioned, the locker room is definitely something to keep an eye on. They also signed Jeff Green today, 1 year, $2.5 million. Thoughts on this one?
I mean, they lost Mike Scott, so I'm guessing they're probably going to want that sort of role from Jeff Green. Jeff Green had his moments throughout the Cavaliers season, including a nice game in the playoffs against his former team, the Boston Celtics. You know, I think Jeff Green gets unfairly panned quite a bit. You know, obviously we see the potential in him, but at the same time, for what he's getting paid for this deal, I think it's a nice enough move for the Washington Wizards, and I think he can give them something going off the bench.
Every time you expect him to have a good game, he doesn't. And every time you don't expect him to have a good game, he does. And that's just what George Hill. Why do I say George Hill?
Hey, same guy.
George Hill is like
pretty much the same guy. Trust me, I've watched him.
Jeff Green, not George Hill. I don't know. But George, I keep wanting to say it. But Jeff Green, he's going to be that rotational forward for the Wizards.
I'm a big fan of this move. Oddly enough, Jeff Green did have his best true shooting percentage last year at 58.7%. Take that with a grain of salt.
Stat. Take that for data.
But you know, I think, you know, even he, I mean, as a sixth man or a seventh man off the bench, you know, playing with Austin Rivers, that bench unit is possibly better on paper than it has been in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's just depending on the fit. And he's going to get a lot of dish outs from John Wall. He is next to a really good shooter in Bradley Beal. I don't hate this move. It's just like you guys mentioned, you know, Jeff Green is hot and cold. I mean, he was great in game six and game seven of that Celtics series. And then against the Warriors, he was absolutely terrified. So, I mean, it is the Warriors. So I guess that, you know, that's not fair to say. But I'm okay with the move, especially for the money it's at.
Corey kind of hinted at it. Obviously, this bench is a lot better and Dwight Howard gives him some more talent. Where do you see the Wizards in the East? Obviously, this is super early, but do you think they could end up being a top four seed?
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see when Corey and I and everyone at OGDs come out with our power rankings, how our staff go with it, because, you know, this is a move that I'm going to be fretting over. Obviously, you know, the moves in free agency indicate sort of like, you know, they're making some okay moves. And with the fact that LeBron has left the East, you know, it leaves that sort of third spot wide open. We sort of, I'm guessing the consensus will be Boston and Philly will be jockeying for that 1 and 2 position. But that third position could be up for grabs from anyone. You know, the Wizards, the Raptors, who knows who else. You know, the Bucks might get it all together. There's a team that a fellow podcaster goes for that signed Tyreke Evans. I can't remember who they are, but you know, who knows? I think the Wizards have a decent shot.
Yeah, I think the Wizards definitely. If things on paper work out with the talent on this roster now, after, you know, I mean, me and Nick were really hard on Gortat this year. I mean, we roasted him on a lot of podcasts. The Polish Hammer was like a Polish. One of those playset hammers. I think if this thing comes together and this team stays healthy, they could easily be a home court team in the playoffs in the East.
Yeah, I think they're going to be probably like a 4 or 5 seed. I think the Pacers will be third. The Sixers and Celtics may flip-flop at 1 and 2. So I think it'll be interesting to see, but inevitably that locker room, it just hurts my head.
Yeah, it feels like they need to sign like an old veteran to just kind of get in there and kind of settle things down, but you'll see what happens. And Corey kind of hinted at this, Tyreke Evans to the Pacers, 1 year, 12 mil. You know, we heard this rumor yesterday. We couldn't confirm it, but now it's confirmed. Thoughts on this signing?
I love this signing. He can run the point guard. He can play forward. He's that scoring punch. He led the Grizzlies in scoring, believe it or not. I know they were horrible, but at the same time, take it with a grain of salt. So Tyreke Evans, he can come in. He can be that scoring guy. I like this signing for the Pacers. I don't know if they brought Darren Collison back or not, but if not, he can play the backup point guard again. So I really like this signing for the Pacers. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to give my boy Corey some extra time to talk about it because, you know, he's had enough time complaining about Doug McDermott. Let's give him some extra time to give him some love to Tyreke Evans.
No longer Salt Bay over there.
No. I can close up my wounds.
The palate has been cleansed.
Yeah, as Dylan mentioned, Tyreke Evans was the leading scorer for the Grizzlies last year. And not only that, but he was efficient. You know, that was the big difference, is the fact that he was able to, you know, hit threes consistently. You know, he averaged 5 rebounds and 5 assists. So you like all of that. The versatility he'll give the Pacers is going to be crucial. The issue last year was the fact that, you know, without Victor Oladipo on the floor, your second best playmaker was Lance Stephenson. And with Lance Stephenson, you were flipping a coin of what kind of Lance you were going to get every night. And obviously he came off the bench. With Tyreke Evans, you can give him, you know, 30 minutes a game. Unlike Lance, you can only give 22. Tyreke can also take over an offense a little bit. Can give Victor Oladipo some more off-ball times. So he doesn't have to do as much with the offense. I just think this is good because it lets Victor Oladipo kind of, you know, not have to deal with the nightly pressure of being literally the best and offensive vocal point and the playmaker who has to do everything for the Pacers, who, you know, keep in mind, they lost every game when he didn't play last season. So I think Tyreke Evans is great. And obviously it's a 1 year deal, $12 million, which is, to me, perfect. You know, he deserves that money. I was surprised he didn't get moved last year at the deadline with only a $3 million contract. The Pacers were interested actually last at the deadline as well. And finally they got their guy. So I think it's good. And I think, depending on whether he starts or comes off the bench, he's going to have a huge impact on Indiana this year.
Yeah, it could turn out to be a really nice signing for the Pacers. Now, do you guys think the Pacers are going to kind of surprise everyone this year? Not to the same way and like sneak into the playoffs and like end up being a higher seed, but do you think they could surprise teams in terms of being a high seed and winning in the playoffs and moving forward?
I think they could definitely make the second round of the playoffs. Now, whether they get past the Celtics or the Philadelphia 76ers, I think that's a whole nother question. But I think they're almost a lock to make the semifinals.
Yeah, I think they've got some nice steps now, adding in Tyreke Evans. You know, eases the load off Victor Oladipo, who had to do so much on both ends of the floor. Corey's mentioned, you know, like so many times about how good he is when it comes to his stealing numbers as well. So this sort of eases that offensive load. And, you know, if there are times where, you know, you can just give the ball to Tyreke Evans, let him do his thing. You know, he averaged 19, 5, and 5 last year. So I think it works out really well for the Pacers. And, you know, I mentioned the fact that the Wizards could be challenging for that third seed. But, yeah, the Pacers have every right to believe that they should be there as well.
66 straight games last year, Victor Oladipo had at least one steal recorded.
Bang.
You know, just saying.
Come out with the stats, Corey. I love it, mate.
Hey, I only know like 3, all right? I'm out here all day. Yeah, I think – I think the Pacers aren't going to surprise teams as much as they did last year. As you mentioned, Nick, you know, last year, I mean, Hume predicted 32 wins, and I was glad to be wrong. And I think if they make it, they can definitely make it past the first round. I think, you know, we almost beat Cleveland last year. It was LeBron versus the Pacers, you know, pretty much basically that's what it was, 1-on-5. And then I think, you know, this year, what you're looking at, if they want to compete and actually advance further, you know, Miles Turner and Domas Sabonis, those two guys have to take major leaps. In particular, Miles Turner, you know, he got better this year, but not by leaps and bounds. He needs to, you know, not get in foul trouble as much. He needs to be stronger when getting rebounds. Need to not hesitate when you have a wide open damn jump shot. And I mean, if that guy progresses, then yeah, this Pacers team with Tyreke Evans and Victor Oladipo could be, you know, a third best team that challenges, you know, at least gives the Celtics and the Sixers a run for their money. I don't think they're good enough to beat them, but they may be able to throw, you know, one or two games against them in the semis.
Yeah, the East is definitely going to be a lot more fun this year because LeBron's not in it, and it always felt like LeBron was a lock every year to go to the finals. There's a little bit more unknown. But moving on to the Rockets, they signed Dylan's boy, Michael Carter-Williams, to a one-year deal, veteran minimum. Thoughts on this one?
I love this so much. He is my favorite player in the world, without a doubt. He's going to be that backup point guard for them. They didn't really have it last year. When they brought in Chris Paul, when they traded Patrick Beverley. So if they bring him in, he's going to be that rotational guy. He's not going to have an offensive game whatsoever. But defensively, he's going to be versatile. He's going to switch on to 2-3s. So I think if you're looking to bring that in, that defensive rotational presence, he's going to be good. Now, like offensive game, he's not going to do anything. Like I said, he missed a layup almost every single game, and that's not an exaggeration. He can't shoot. I believe he had the league worst field goal percentage, like above 100 attempts or something. So I think he shot like 29% from the field, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But this is my favorite signing in the NBA so far. I don't care about DeMarcus Cousins. I don't care about LeBron James. This is my favorite signing.
Am I being punked? Where's Ashton?
I love the shade is so real. I love it. I think that if, you know, the point guard whisperer and Mike D'Antoni can do something with Michael Carter-Williams, then he is an absolute savant. I don't see it happening, but I think, you know, Michael Carter-Williams, if he can provide a need and sort of D'Antoni can narrow his focus to being that pure defensive guard, sort of like, you know, a light Marcus Smart, where he doesn't have to do everything, you know, as a floor general, and can just be a defensive sort of presence, because, you know, the Rockets have enough offensive presence already as it is. So if they can narrow his focus in that sense, then, you know, I feel like that there can be an okay signing. You know, they need to add some pieces to sort of keep up with the Golden State Warriors, but, you know, I don't think there's enough pieces in the world that can allow them to do that. But, you know, Michael Carter-Williams, see you later, I guess, from Dylan Jackson, XOXO.
XOXO.
Trash. I mean, you have to give money to somebody, I guess. I understand from a defensive standpoint, this team needed, you know, to kind of replace Trevor Ariza's offense, which they haven't done. I think Michael Carter-Williams can be decent. I mean, he does play defense. He can play make a little, as Dylan said, you know, he misses almost every layup he takes. I think it's okay, I guess. I don't know. I doubt he ever plays in the playoffs. I mean, they play a 7-man rotation as is, and Michael Carter-Williams would not be one of them. But, yeah, sure. You know, we can enjoy this for the, you know, 62 games you see him in the regular season for about 15 minutes.
This is a guy I watched game in and game out until about 10 games left into the regular season play over guys like Malik Monk and Dwayne Bacon. So I am happy, very happy he is out of Charlotte right now.
I don't blame you. Moving on, we did have one trade today. Wilson Chandler is going to the Sixers along with a future second-round pick. Obviously, this is more of a cap dunk, salary cap dump for the Denver Nuggets. But the Sixers, you know, Wilson Chandler still has a little bit of game. He did have a really bad season last year. What are your thoughts on this trade?
Yeah, I don't mind if I'm on both sides. Yeah. Sorry, Dylan, you go.
I'm not sure what Philly got, but I think the 76ers got a second-round pick with Chandler. if I'm correct. So I like this trade from both point of views. Denver saved about $50 million total with this trade, just because of all the salary stuff involved, like over the luxury tax. And Philly just had the cap room to absorb him, so they get an extra pick. I assume they're either going to waive him or just let him expire, maybe move him again. So I like this trade from both perspectives.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. I think that, you know, it adds some wing depth to the Philadelphia 76ers, which they sort of need, you know, only having really Robert Covington in that position, you know, a guy who can provide some decent enough offense as well. And yeah, for the Nuggets, you know, they still need to shed even more salary to get into that luxury tax range to sort of, you know, make sure, because no team wants to be in the luxury tax if they're not a top two, top three contender. And the Nuggets right now, as their current iteration, aren't that. So look for them to make some more moves going forward, whether that's Kenneth Faried, Daryl Arthur, trying to get rid of their salaries. I'm sure it'll be a little bit trickier than just dumping Wilson Chandler, who, you know, I feel like will be a nice asset for the Philadelphia 76ers.
For Denver, I think this is perfect because you shred, like you guys mentioned, you know, you shed the first contract you need to shed. Kenneth Faried, I think, is going to be a guy we see fall within the next, you know, 4 or 5 days, most likely. For the Sixers' point of view, you know, I feel like this is them giving up on Kawhi Leonard personally. I feel like this is them saying, you know, we're probably not going to be able to get him for the asking price. Or maybe I'm wrong, and this is, you know, just the start of something bigger. But I think for the Sixers' standpoint, it's not bad. I mean, Wilson Chandler obviously offensively had a down year, but he can still, you know, he still plays relatively good defense. He can play the four, he can play the three, which gives him a little bit of versatility at those two positions. So I don't mind it. I think this is actually a pretty good move for the Sixers, especially when Wilson Chandler, again, isn't going to be a vocal point of any offense anyways.
Yeah, and the fact he's expiring gives him cap space for next year, so it keeps him flexible for the following season. When do you guys think we'll see Kenneth Faried moved? Obviously, they were able to keep their first-round pick for next year, so they could possibly attach that to him.
Look, there's a chance. I'd hate to jump in, Dylan, but being a Nets fan, I had to do it for my boy. The Nets currently have about $6 million in cap room. Depending on if Dwight gives up, you know, about $8 million, that gives us basically $14 million, which is about Kenneth Faried's contract. So, and we were rumored before the draft. So there's certainly a chance that obviously adding Ed Davis changes that. And, you know, Atlanta, Sacramento, Chicago are the other teams who have that cap flexibility. So there aren't sort of many trading partners that they're going to have to sort of dump those contracts. But, you know, this could take, you know, weeks. It could extend all the way into August or the end of July. But it's going to happen. And I think for the Nuggets' sake, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's going to happen. They tried moving their 14th overall pick, but they ended up selecting Michael Porter, another forward. So I think it's going to happen. It's just only a matter of time, maybe within the month. But with these types of trades, you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, I just think within the next, I think he gets dealt before free agency ends personally, but, you know, I could be wrong. It could be a deadline deal for all I know. But I know that I just don't see him in Denver much longer. I think if he makes it past January, the come of 2019, I'll be surprised. It's just, you know, you don't want to, like Jack mentioned earlier, you don't want to pay the luxury tax when you're not even contending for a title.
Yeah, it's definitely been, it's felt like they've been trying to move Faried for almost 2 or 3 years now. But moving on to another rumor that dropped today, Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler are still trying to figure out a way to play together, according to a source. As well, Jimmy Butler has been kind of angry with the Timberwolves and some of their younger players not trying hard enough, and he doesn't look like he wants to sign an extension with them. What are your thoughts on this, guys?
Well, if it's true, then the Timberwolves got robbed. I mean... They give up Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Zach LaVine for this guy who had a 2-year contract. Last year was the first. This year he's expiring. So if he leaves, you're still in the negative cap room, I believe. So you are struggling to find any way you can keep Jimmy Butler if you can without moving Karl Anthony Towns, even that is the guy that he was rumored to, you know, be butting heads with.
Yeah, I think we'll see Andrew Wiggins will be a ready-made replacement. No, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. But, yeah, the fact that this is coming out, you know, we know the rumors around Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving have been long-standing, as Nick and I have mentioned on The Buzz. So I'm all in for 2019, 2020, getting Kyrie and Jimmy to Brooklyn. We know But also at the same time, we could see, you know, Karl Anthony Towns possibly traded out, or Andrew Wiggins, and the Timberwolves getting Kyrie Irving. Because for those that might not remember, I'm sure plenty of people do, the Minnesota Timberwolves were on Kyrie's original list of teams back when he wanted to get out of Cleveland. Obviously, you know, Jimmy Butler might have had an effect in that. So look for them to sort of be teaming up, as Nick mentioned.
This was interesting because obviously I was at work all day and my phone was dead. So I didn't see any of this nonsense until about 5:55 and we hopped on this podcast at 6:05. So this was a lot to process quickly. I guess we can all be surprised that Jimmy Butler's fed up with playing with young guys who don't play defense when he obviously plays defense. And not just that, he's surrounded by, you know, Wiggins, Teague, and Towns. None of those guys are defensively talented to begin with. So him not wanting to sign an extension to me is not surprising, especially when Tom Thibodeau runs him in the dirt the first year. He tears his meniscus. So I'm sure it's a collaboration of these things. And, of course, if you know you're really good friends with Kyrie Irving and he also wants to play with you and you're also both looking at free agency in the next year, this is what the league does. We pair up with friends and superstars now, which is not a bad thing. It's enjoyable for the most part. But yeah, I think if this is how he feels and he's not going to be able to be pleased, who knows? We might see Jimmy Butler dealt before the season ends. I don't think that's likely, but it doesn't look good for Minnesota when you, like Dylan mentioned, you know, they went all in. They traded away Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn for Jimmy Butler, and now they may lose him for next to nothing if he decides to not re-sign and leave. I don't think they should take the risk of trading Karl Anthony Towns if Jimmy Butler doesn't like Towns, because at the end of the day, Towns is still younger, and I'd rather you keep the youth and keep a guy who's, you know, near the peak of his career. And I mean, what are you playing for at this point in time with a guy who's in his peak compared to a guy like Towns who you can still build around and possibly outlive this Warriors dynasty? And then when Towns is in his peak, maybe you have your chance at your run for a title. You know, the fingers crossed, I guess, if you're in Minnesota. But surprising stuff.
Where are some destinations that you think Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler could kind of team up?
Los Angeles. And I say that because that's such a popular thing to say now. You know, like the Lakers, they're back. They've got LeBron. But wouldn't it be something to have Kyrie Irving go back to LeBron with Jimmy Butler? That'd be insane.
He did say that, like, you know, I think there's still a little bit of love there. By the fact that Kyrie, you know, sort of left, I guess, on his own accord to establish his own sort of, you know, future, his own sort of narrative, his own sort of career trajectory. He did mention the fact that he thought LeBron was the MVP this year, the best player in the game, sorry. I did a piece for Clutch Points where I did 29 possible trade deals for Kyrie Irving, obviously, when that rumor was going around. And my number one team was the San Antonio Spurs for Kyrie, obviously with Kawhi, where his status right now. And again, on his original list of teams, I wouldn't put it past, you know, Greg Popovich making a deal of some sorts there. Obviously, they did draft Lonnie Walker as well. They've got DeJounte Murray. But, you know, if you've got a chance of getting Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler, you know, there's certainly a chance that I'll bring up the San Antonio Spurs. The Miami Heat could be a chance. Never put it past Pat Riley to find a star. They've got a lot of assets that they could probably offer up. Nothing that's, you know, going to blow the Timberwolves out of the park or the Celtics out of the park. But, you know, the fact that, you know, both will be unrestricted free agents at the same time, you know, wouldn't put it past someone like Pat Riley as well.
The San Antonio destination, you know, what if destination is interesting. And Kyrie definitely still does have a great deal of respect for LeBron. I was listening to the Ben Simmons podcast recently. He had Kyrie Irving on, and Kyrie spoke about, you know, how playing LeBron was something, you know, he was, you know, so glad he could do. And, you know, they obviously had a ton of memories together and whatnot. I think personally, and I hate to say this to you guys, because I know there's two people in here who might, you know, come to my house with pitchforks and torches.
You better not say the Knicks. You have better.
Then I just think the Knicks are a possibility. Kyrie Irving has mentioned his desire to play in like the Big Apple. Obviously Brooklyn is New York City, so it could be Brooklyn, but he's mentioned the Knicks in particular, or at least that's what he's been paired to. And who knows, you know, Porzingis, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler. I mean, obviously they would have to make moves, you know, maybe a sign and trade. That's in Tim Hardaway Jr. now.
Joakim Noah.
Right. Joakim Noah, then probably a sign and trade with Tim Hardaway Jr. to make money. Right. You know, but, you know, who knows? It's I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibilities that, you know, they team up somewheres. And, you know, one of the two New York teams, those are two likely destinations. Maybe the Clippers, if they free up some cap space, you know, there are some possibilities. I don't personally think Kyrie will go back to LeBron, but that's just me thinking that, you know, there's more to the pettiness and everything else.
I think if the Nuggets can somehow find a way to clear the cap space, pairing Nikola Jokic and Paul Millsap with Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving would be such a fun team. I don't know how they would do it.
Yeah, I don't know how they would
get
can.
The money, but it would be so fun.
Well, if Jay Christensen has his way, there will be no salary cap. So maybe it's just that's what happens in the next year. They get rid of the salary cap, and we just go at these guys with these monster teams and then, like, 10 really bad teams.
I think the salary cap will be here for a long time. I doubt it goes away, but you never know. Crazier things have happened, like DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Warriors. But that speaking wraps it up.
Nick, just speaking of DeMarcus Cousins, I just saw on Twitter, I'm not sure how true this is, but going around, league sources say that Cousins rebuffed New Orleans' offer of a 2-year, $40 million contract before the season ended. When that offer was declined, New Orleans took it off the table, apparently. I'm not sure how true that is, but you know, the fact that, you know, apparently there was rumors going around that New Orleans didn't make an offer. Maybe they did make an offer earlier in the season and that offer was still on the table and they took it off possibly. But that to me is quite interesting.
That might mean that the medicals are a lot more scary than we think they are.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Isaiah Thomas thing.
I saw someone mention that on Twitter, that this could just be another Isaiah Thomas situation where he just won't be right at all during the season. I mean, it's to be honest, it's not like the Warriors really need him to be 100% anyways, or even 50% because they can win without him, but it is something to keep an eye on. But any other rumors or notes or signings you guys want to mention before we get out of here?
I mean, the only other thing I see is that, you know, David Nwabe and the Bulls are reportedly open to doing a sign-in trade. So come on, everybody, let's get on out there.
Bye.
Yeah, and also, if the Hornets could please trade Kemba Walker before he walks for absolutely nothing, that would be outstanding. Maybe Lonzo Ball, maybe.
I mean, we mentioned it.
Yeah.
What else do you think would be a possibility other than the Lakers for Kemba? You think Orlando possibly?
Orlando's definitely a possibility. You know, you got Steve Clifford down there. Pair him with Nikola Vucevic. That would be super fun. I think Miami's an underrated destination. They've already got Goran Dragic, but if they could maybe package him with maybe a future pick or something, I don't think Charlotte would maybe hang up the phone. San Antonio is another team. They've been looking for that point guard since Tony Parker, you know, declined for a while. So if they could put something around Lonnie Walker, that might be intriguing. But all in all, I don't think he's going to be moved, and I will think he does walk for nothing.
Yeah, that always is the worst. And same thing could happen to Timberwolves with Jimmy Butler.